Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Now is the time to be found on the right side of light.
That's right.
And you can get caught up. We actually have on VFNTV.com, when you go to the VFN torch on the menu, it drops down and it has prophetic words. You can click right there on that menu choice and you can read prophetic words. You can read, you can listen to them, you can watch them. We have so many different ways that you can get those words. And we're doing that because God said do it, but we're doing it because God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. This is what he says in Ezekiel 33, I believe it is. He says, listen, a storm is being fashioned against you. When I fashion a storm against you, this is what he said. When you see the sword coming against the nation, I will raise up a watchman. And this is the watchman's responsibility. And they're all, you hear the watchman, you hear their voices, the few voices across the land, that you have to warn folks. You have to warn them, I see a storm coming. And there's two responses. You can hear this warning and you could say, okay, I want to check myself and see if I'm in the faith. I'm going to check myself. I'm going to quit being like Isaiah prayed at the Dream Center, you know, this putting on this front of religion. I'm going to get a relationship with God. I'm going to get serious with God. And I know he's going to get serious with me. And you can respond and repent. And God says, when you've done that, you won a friend. You saved that person's life. And so that's the point of the warning. It's not for the storm to come in. It's for us to repent. And he says, if you do this, then you save your life. He's talking to the watchman. But then he says, you can warn someone and they not respond to you. And they're going to suffer for their sins. The storm's going to come in. It's going to be devastating. But you would have saved yourself. You would have saved yourself because you were supposed to warn them. It's what he tells you. So it's not an option. If you know and you're not telling anybody, this is what he says. If you know and you don't tell them, yeah, they're going to suffer for doing their wrong and sin. Mm-hmm. But he says their blood's going to be on your hand. Their blood's going to be on your hands because you didn't warn them. And understand that the storm is being fashioned. And before we share this prophetic word, and we're going to talk also about the three teens that have been kidnapped in the West Bank today and a couple other things that are going to be right in line with what we talked about maybe in our earlier programs. We're expanding here. We're going to be sharing this word, John is from Randolph. But John, first I want you to share with our viewers and listeners about riding the wall, how the Lord has shown you that on one side of this wall is a storm.
Yeah.
That's raging. On the other side, there isn't, but God has us and others, but just has us, but there's many others riding on this wall with the torch. But think about it. You look at the torch burning all the time on VFNTV.com. I mean, this is a prophetic utterance. I mean, if God didn't say do it, this is definitely not what we would be doing.
No, definitely not.
I was totally fine. You know, we were happy as can be. But when God says do it, that's what we're going to do. And the safest place for you, by the way, let me tell you, is not hiding out behind your beans and your Kevlar.
Yeah,
bait. How did you get saved? I had Kevlar. I had my bait in my pocket and I shot it and ricocheted off the bait. But I want you to share with us, you know, what the Lord showed you in this prophetic dream. I mean, this is amazing.
Yeah. I had a vision in the day. I had a vision and I saw, I was real low to the ground. It was very dark, either late at night or very early morning. And I was low and out of a fog appeared four horsemen and they raced right by me. I mean, as quick as can be. And one right after the other. And then in the next scene in this vision, I was actually taken up and I was all of a sudden I saw these horsemen that were galloping, about eight of them across, maybe, I don't know, 10 or 20 deep. And they were writing with such ferociousness. I mean, it was just quiet, but there was this militant, hard, serious gallop.
Could you hear it? Could you hear the
galloping? Yeah, I mean, it was ferocious. It's a very distinct sound. Mm. And I was hovering above them.
Wait a minute. What is this?
This is a vision. Okay. This is a vision. Yeah, so I was hovering. I was taken up. I was hovering above them.
You're actually looking down
I'm
on
looking
this.
Down or actually like right behind them. Kind
so
of
you weren't on
it.
A hovercraft or nothing. I mean, no, you're actually no, just no, in a vision. No. You're looking down on it.
Yeah, looking down, okay. but actually in it as well. It's kind of a weird vision, you know.
That's all. It happens quite often.
And then before you know it, I was riding on a horse with them.
So
I
on the wall.
Viewing. Well, we're getting there.
Okay.
So I'm riding along with this group of horsemen.
An order? Is there any order?
Yeah, there was order. It was, again, the ferocious seriousness of, you know, they were just galloping these horses. And then the third scene, I was kind of, again, lifted up in the sky of this vision. And if you're looking at a screen of your television, I guess the best way to describe it is I was kind of all the way in the upper right-hand corner of your screen looking at an angle down. And what I saw was this land, and on the border of this land was the sea and the ocean to the right of it, but on the land was this wall, very high up, and on the wall were it was a single file line of these horsemen that were galloping, and the person in the front, the lead horseman, was actually standing up galloping, holding a torch high.
Standing up in the stirrups?
In the stirrups. Mm-hmm. And they're just in a single file line.
This is God, because John went in.
No.
Not until our partner with rides up in Pensacola.
Yeah,
until then.
Okay. So the galloping, right? But so it was kind of at night, I can remember the countryside or the folks, the houses that were, you know, had lights on the inside of them. And it was dark. But towards the right of the land and then the right side of the wall, there was this ocean that was brewing. And you just see the water just going up and down, just like this ebb and flow. And you knew that the storm was about to come. And it was very serious. And the impression that the Lord quickly gave me was that it's the torch. It's the warning. It's the last trumpet. This thing's about to hit.
Right.
It's about to come upon the land. And it was this last moment effort of blowing this trumpet and warning the folks of what is about to come. We're just discussing about a vision the Lord gave me. Regarding the horsemen being watchmen on the wall and keeping the torch in the forefront. And that's what we've been doing. We've been just warning, sharing everything the Lord really has shared and revealed to us and also revealed to others. But we're going to have you just watch Larry Randolph as he delivers this word on the Sid Roth's It's Supernatural program. And Sid begins to ask him about what the Lord showed him. And Larry was taken in a vision, and he hovered around the globe, and God spoke to him about three countries.
Use the word hover, but basically he's looking down at the globe.
He's looking down, right. He was raised up. I mean, I don't know how to say it.
The hover is like...
Yeah, he wasn't in a hovercraft.
Yeah, you're
right. He was, you know...
Looking down.
Yeah, looking down. Mm-hmm. And God spoke to him about the Soviet Union, Israel, and America.
And this is only 3 minutes, so you got to listen up and watch closely.
Very closely. In fact, watch now.
You actually were taken in the spirit around the globe and saw what would be happening throughout the whole world. But tell me about a country that's in the news a great deal, the former Soviet Union, Russia. Tell me about it.
I was in the month of September, and it's all on recording and video. I was in preaching. I was taken around the world in my spirit. A lot of different places, just shown some things. Some of the things have already come to pass, like the typhoon already come to pass. I talked about that and some other things. But I saw... an angel. I saw coming from heaven. I saw this giant sword, and it was stuck in the heart of Russia. And as it was in Russia, and this sword was in Russia, I heard the words, "The thoughts and plans of man will come to nothing." And so I have some time to distinguish between this is exactly what God says, and this is my interpretation. I would believe that would mean whatever intent Russia has, and in a sense of any harm or anything, that it'll come to naught because God's in control. God loves the Russian, Ukrainian people, all peoples of Europe, and all peoples of the Soviet Union. And I believe God is going to do a checkmate in that particular situation.
Sounds good to me. Tell me about Israel.
I saw this was the, this excited me greatly. I saw Israel, and as I'm looking around the globe, I saw the land of Israel, and I saw it like I was 3 or 4 miles up in the atmosphere. And from the dust of the ground of Israel, I saw this image coming out of the dust, and I recognized it, somehow in my spirit, it was King David. And he was fully dressed with a robe on and with a sword, and he was stood up for war. He was ready to war, and he said, and this is what I heard. When David said to Goliath, "This day shall God deliver you into my hands." And the scripture said, and he ran toward Goliath. And I saw this warring Davidic spirit come out of Israel to take its enemies down. And I heard the Lord say, "The safety of Israel shall not be compromised."
I agree. Now, briefly, very briefly, USA.
USA. Number of things, but one that was struck me the most was the fact that the USA, especially those in higher government, from the very top to bottom, were not only in for a humbling, but a humbling beyond embarrassment. And the Lord has decided to answer the blood of our forefathers in this nation and the prayers of the intercessors, as he did with Abraham. If there was 10 righteous, he would have saved Sodom and Gomorrah. There's so many righteous in this country, and God has heard their prayers, and God is about. The scripture says, if you don't follow the rock, it'll fall on you. The rock is about to fall on America in the sense of, I don't mean in the sense of some great judgment, but in the sense of humbling, which would be judgment for those that are humbled. And it's going to come from the very top of the government to the very bottom. We're going to see a great humbling, and I believe that's this year and next year and the government of the United States, because God is going to set right some things. Because the Lord said to me 2 years ago that the United States is going to, has received a period of grace. If Jezebel could get a space of repentance and revelation, why can't we? God has extended grace to this nation. And the jury's out in some instances, because it depends on how we react as people of God and partner with God in prayer.
That is so encouraging. It reminds me of when we were talking about, is New York City asking the question, spiritual Babylon, and we went through all those different characteristics. When Yolanda calls into the station and talks to me, who is an intercessor, a messianic Holocaust survivor, who was the Knight of Crystal Glass, I mean, she's part of all that. She said when she was in Washington, D.C. and interceding and praying, she says, no, it's not New York City, it's Washington, D.C. It's Washington, D.C., and you think about all the things that have been said, and you're only, it's 530 folks plus the bureaucracy that surrounds that they put in place. But it would make you want to repent, wouldn't it? As a legislator.
Yeah, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Because they're legislating ungodly laws over people who love God, over people, over, you know, so he would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you
think about it, he says, you know, it's not judgment, but it will be judgment for those who refuse to be humbled, you know? So it's like, get low real quick before you get lowered, you know?
And we didn't get a chance, we're going to be talking about this in the future, but if you look at the word crisis or judgment, right? That's, Rick Joyner talks about that in his book. That is the Greek word for crisis. And crisis is defined as a point in a disease that is the point of life or death.
Right.
When you reach a crisis point in medical treatment, that means this patient may die. And so when you look at the word crisis, you're really looking at the word judgment. That's where they get the word K-R-I-S-S.
Right.
And it's like, you call it what you want to, but when lives are being taken, when disaster hits, when you're in the Twin Towers, when you're in the government building, remember they're running out of the government buildings. And I know, even in the place where the studios are located, we're seeing people run out of government buildings here. We're seeing explosions. We're seeing just the wildest things. And we're watching people write them off. And that's why he says, you know, it's subjective. And how will we respond to this? Will we explain this away? Or will we go, you know, hey, you know, this is God getting our attention. It's encouraging, too. We talked about the Davidic warring spirit rising up. And you can see that if you haven't yet. You can go back and watch Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu through the different segments that we've been showing him.
It's on him.
It's on him. It is on him. And right now, you know, and we'll be talking about this in a moment after the break, about these three teenagers that have been kidnapped by what he says are the Hamas, which is part of the Palestinian government, where Fatah and Hamas has come together. And he is going through there like David. I mean, he's going through like King David, and they are locking up anybody that's a criminal, anybody that had anything to do with it. I'm 100 plus last reported.
Wow.
And it's like, free our boys.
Yeah.
You know, and you can, you know, we have that on our Twitter account. It's hashtag free our boys. And that's about freeing these boys.
Yeah.
Teenagers that are there.
What's interesting is that what he saw was not Israel sitting back and waiting as they have been in the past.
Right.
Attack, but it's moving forward.
Yes.
Confronting that which has been really confronting them for a very long time.
And you think about, you know, strategic wise, it's now that everything's in chaos in the Middle East, it is a time when, you know, Israel can act to be able to defend herself. And it was real cool too to see the positive word over Russia, because I have all these Russian Ukrainian Christians and Russian Christians, and God loves all mankind. And that even there's a Christian president now, I think a temporary president that's Christian now in Ukraine. And they're turning towards the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They're turning towards the Lord at the same time while evil, they happen simultaneously. But to see that that's not even going to win.
Mm-hmm.
That's very encouraging, because it seems if there's a border, Satan's trying to go over it right now.
That's right.
He's trying to send somebody over that border who doesn't belong over there the wrong way. And I like what he said about this. If he even gave Jezebel a chance to repent, you can read about that in Revelation chapter 2. If he even gave Jezebel a chance to repent, if he gave Ahab, you have to understand Ahab was a provoker of God. He was not, he was not just a evil king. He provoked God.
Yeah.
And God still gave him a chance to repent.
Right.
It's interesting. It's a chance. It's a period of time. I mean, Genesis says that God's spirit will not always contend with man. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a period, but it's for us to recognize that period and that time to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. So you have Russia. It won't prevail if they actually stand up for God. Israel, that the word was that they're going to take on this divinic warring spirit, David warring spirit, which we're seeing right now. We can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It is so encouraging, because this is how our presidents used to be. He's like, don't mess with our folks.
That's right.
Don't threaten our land. That's actually how it used to be. But if you want to feel what it feels like, go to VFNTV.com and watch Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu talk at the over and over again at all the press conferences. Mm-hmm. And then America's going to be humbled. America's government's going to be humbled. And it's amazing what they're consciously doing. What they consciously are doing, knowing what's right, they are just fueling. They're putting in more justices right now across the land. The reports are by CBN News that are totally against God's way of doing things. Mm-hmm. They're rapidly, because they've done away with the filibuster rule in the Senate now. So they're just constantly putting one in after another. And when your judges are in place, that's what happened with Jezebel. Jezebel had all of her sons in place. And so they made all these unjust rulings, and it caused the whole land to be corrupt. We're talking about this prophetic word given by Randall. We're talking about prophetic vision and things that God is confirming to us and to others. And I want to give you a kind of an insight, a biblical insight, you know, shining the light of God's word on this. When you think about King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, this King Ahab was God's chosen leader. That was the one that was next in line for the throne. He was a provoker of God. I mean, he had all these other gods. He married someone who had all these other gods. He allowed her to run in his place, leadership, and did terrible things. And yet he humbled himself. I mean, after God sent a prophet, you got to get over yourself. If God's called you to minister, he may want you to go tell somebody the world is over for them, just so that person will humble themselves and repent. And then God will have you go back to them and tell them, it's not going to happen now.
Yeah, right.
That's what you want, by the way. That's what Ezekiel 33 is all about. Is about having people change their minds and turn back to God. And so Elijah went and warned King Ahab at first, and he humbled himself. He fasted. He ripped his clothes, and God goes, "Go look at him." I mean, so he gave this provoker a chance. You know, he didn't have the ability to stay in a place of humility, but at least there was a momentary place of humility. Mm. By the way, all of Israel benefited from a humbled leader during that time. And so if your leader humbles for a little bit, you know, it's a little bit of window of breather that you can preach the gospel and more people can come in.
That's right.
But This is how seduced God's people were at the time when God said, this is it. He brought in a particular leader that he anointed called Jehu, and everybody were worshiping this sexual perverted type gods called Baal and Sheerah and Dagon and all this kind of stuff, and had to do with all kinds of human sacrifice and sexual offerings and all this kind of stuff. But it basically was just today. Anyway, so this can give you hope, because listen, because he's talking about suddenly the government's going to be dealt with in this prophetic word, but the people are going to be okay. And this is what happened, exactly what happened when God dealt with Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab dies. Jehu is headed to deal with this seducer herself. She's putting on makeup. She's going to try to take him out by her looks. And he goes to deal with her, and he doesn't even touch her. He has her thrown down from the windows. The horses stomp her. Then he actually gathers all the judges, Supreme Court judges, the other judges, whoever's in the land of Israel, and all of her sons, and has their heads removed. Because if you have an evil judge, you have an evil land. And that's not, I'm not saying that should be done in America. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what happened in Israel. You know, in America, we could just vote the head of government out. We can vote the judge out, you know, that type of thing. We're not called to be violent, as we talked about in an earlier program. And so, and then this is how seduced, God's about to deliver God's people now. He's about to deliver them, and it looks really terrible because people are still into Baal worship. So many people are into Baal worship, you know, all this sexual perversion, everything, that he throws a Baal party. He has this big, huge Baal party, and people are still so darkened by their understanding, so far gone because of the corrupt leadership, that a lot of people showed up at this party. That's how bad it was. People say, it's just too bad. God's not going to turn things around. You know, God's not going to, I mean, he's just going to write us off. It's just totally over. This is how bad it was for Israel. But it was bad because the leadership was bad. God replaced leadership. He did not replace the people. God loves the people. And if the leadership repents, I mean, he loves them too, but if they won't repent, he'll remove them. And so he goes in to do a leadership, a governmental transition to take place. And that's what he did. You know, he took, Ahab was out. He took out Jezebel. And now he's going to take out all the followers of these false gods. And so he throws a big party. And you can imagine what kind of debauchery is taking place at a Baal party. And he does that because he wants to gather every one of them together in one place. And then he goes through the party trying to make sure the only people that are here are the ones that truly are Baal worshipers, which means sometimes you can be hanging around folks. That's not your heart. So God even went looking for those folks who really are not that. That's not what they've given themselves over to. To clean them out and get them out of there. And then God destroyed all the Baal worshipers that were there. God changes leadership. And all of a sudden, the people are in a righteous place. Because a Jezebel spirit is about a seduced leader that's been seduced by those around them that has taken that leadership. And the person who's supposed to be leading is not leading, and not leading in a righteous way. And quite often people just go, they blame the leadership. But the truth is, that man, that woman's not leading. There's somebody else in the background that's leading that person. Yes, God's going to hold that person personally responsible, because this is what he said to Ahab. He said, you let your wife, Jezebel, lead you astray. It wasn't because his wife or Jezebel, it's the fact that he was called to be king. He's the one that's supposed to have done it. If she was queen, then she was the one that's supposed to be doing it. But he was the one. And he said, you let her lead you astray. So you don't get, we don't get out of it just because you got led astray. You can't point your finger and say, well, that board led me astray, or, you know, that church member led me astray, or, you know, that political party led me astray. If you know what's right and you don't do it, it's sin. But what happened was just encourage you, which means God just changed government over his people. That's what he did. He changed the government. He removed Ahab. He removed Jezebel. He removed all the judges, all the their prophets that were around, the religious folks who followed all that. He just cleaned, he did a clean sweep through all of that. And guess what? righteous leadership got in place. Mm-hmm. And God's people, he didn't go destroy all of his people. It was the leadership. And it's like, oh my goodness. So this prophetic word, when you think about it, even he does the comparison, you know, Randolph talks about the comparison to Jezebel, the fact that this thing could turn around overnight. If Yolanda was correct in what she was talking about, when we're talking about is New York City asking the question, spiritual mm-hmm. Babylon, she goes, no, it's Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
When we talk about, you know, there was a word given about the corruption taking place in Wall Street, but Wall Street is only what Washington, D.C. Street, Pennsylvania Avenue, allowed to happen. So you can't really blame Wall Street on Wall Street. You have to blame it on the one who just spent more money on stakes than his opponent did on his entire campaign. The House of Cards, the Cantor House of Cards. And if you haven't seen this yet, I gave a prophetic word very specifically where God told me this thing in Washington, D.C., this government is a house of cards. And after that now, after that, CNN.com reports when the next one in line for the Speaker of the House, his name is Cantor. I guess he's a senator.
Eric Cantor from Virginia.
Congressman. He says he's a congressman. That he loses this election that he was running for, to their shock and amazement. And they said Cantor's House of Cards. And they had three things on there. They had Caesar, Cantor, and they had the guy that's on that program, House of Cards, which I've never seen, but we saw it on Wikipedia, and we have that available for you. So hopefully we'll put that up today. Make sure that's up on the torch so you can see that prophetic word was confirmed, because it said Cantor. And for all the ones that are thinking that your answer is a conservative government, that your answer is a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, our answer is God. Mm-hmm. It's not a political answer. Our answer is God. Mm-hmm. I think about, you remember the sheriff? Was that you and me that went to go saw to see the sheriff in Jacksonville?
Yeah.
And he says, you know, he's a Christian sheriff, and he said that Rutherford, I think it was Sheriff Rutherford, mm-hmm. he said that when evil people rule, that people, teeth, they grind their teeth. They have this, mm-hmm. this like, this is terrible. But when righteousness rules, people rejoice.
It's a proverb, yeah.
It's a proverb, but this is a sheriff. Yeah, the proverb. Yeah, that's what, yeah. The big deal is the sheriff. And right now people are, I watch the news sometimes and grind my teeth.
Yeah.
You know, from what's taking place in Washington, D.C. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I've growled a couple of times when I watched that. You still haven't freed Sergeant Andrew yet, you know? And he says, but leadership determines whether we rejoice or whether we grind our teeth and it's like eating lemon, you know, it's like, ugh. Mm. And it's like, but the reason why we have this kind of leadership in America is because we put them in office. We're the ones who did that. This is a government by the people and for the people. It's a representative form of government. It's only 530 folks. And they got there because you voted for them or you didn't vote. And more people who profess to be Christians, according to Wall Builders, what's the founder of Wall Builders?
David Barton.
David Barton. Is that most if Christians don't even vote. Oh, and, and think about this. You combine not voting, then you actually combine not paying any attention to who's running and their value systems or educating yourself on the vote. It's like, and combine the fact of what Barna Group says that, you know, 81% of Christians are not even reading their Bible, so you don't have a biblical perspective or a biblical worldview of why you got to vote this value over that value. Mm-hmm. You put all that together, and what do you have? Government that causes you to grind your teeth. Mm-hmm. But you can say, you know what? This is my repentance. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to find a little pocket constitution like this, and I'm going to find out what God allowed me to have mm-hmm. in this nation as a citizen. Because one thing it says in this constitution is you can vote. You have a right to vote. Everybody has a right to vote. And then you can find out, okay, we've got 530 folks. Who are they? What do we need to do? What's their value systems? You get hooked up with something like the Christian Coalition, who gives you the values. They actually send questionnaires to all the candidates, asking them, what is your viewpoint and your values on this? What is your viewpoint and your values on this? And reports are right now, I don't have it, and hopefully we'll get it, that Governor Scott of Florida again signed another right to life bill.
Oh.
Something to the nature of that if that child can be sustained outside the womb, you cannot abort it while it's inside the womb. And this is what he said for all the legislatures in the state of Florida. The reason why there's not more laws being passed is because you're not putting them on his desk, because Governor Scott said, if you'll put any pro-life bill on my desk, I will sign it, which means you got to get busy writing. Write every law that you can that's for the life of the child and what's about to happen to the world, what's about to happen in America. Guess what? God just may say, not Florida. He just may say, not Florida. I will spare Florida. Think about that. If we say, Lord, forgive us for the sin of abortion, we will do everything and lay every bill you can before this governor, because we know for a fact, I have a bill in my office he signed, or the pen that he signed it with. And this is what the reports are. He will sign any pro-life bill put on his desk.
Yeah. He just passed a late-term abortion. He signs a late-term abortion bill.
I want to talk about, we got the bill up now. We're going to be able to read to you the bill in just a moment. But I want to remind you that it looked really bad for Israel right before things turned around, because God had already anointed a strategic plan to turn Israel around. He anointed in the background all along a man by the name of Jehu, and had this man anointed in a way that he was strategically had a plan from heaven to be able to turn a nation around. And it was about changing the government of Israel around. And so it can happen when you line up with that word right there. And understand that Israel was so seduced at the time that even while Ahab's blood was fresh in the soil and Jezebel's blood was fresh under the hoofs of horses, and potentially blood was still pouring from the heads of her sons who were killed because of the evil things that had happened, that there was a bell party going on. A real seductive, fleshly, carnal party going on, because let me tell you who threw it. A man of God threw it. And so all those people that start so quick to judge people when they're making a decision, you don't know what God's about to do. Because this man threw that party, and somebody say, well, I voted him in office, you know, and here he is throwing a bell party. You don't know what he's about to do. He threw a party, and all of a sudden, all these ones who were following the way that destroyed and brought God's judgment on Israel, whose teeth were cringing because of this leadership, gathered together for this bail party. And after he went through the crowd and pulled out people that weren't part of that, God brought judgment just on those, which means this: God's not going to bring calamity on you as a faithful man and woman of God. That's not going to be God. Maybe the enemy may do that. The evil folks may do that. But if evil comes your way, it's not God. If you're standing up for God and you're walking rightly before the Lord, understand this. You know, Lucifer and his captives may do harm to you, but that's not God doing harm to you. That's the enemy hating on you because you stand up for God, as we talked about in an earlier program. But know that God's hand will protect you. This same God who holds back the waters and directs the king's heart like a watercourse will assuredly protect you and keep you safe. And I encourage you, if you haven't yet, begin to read Psalms 91 to understand how he will protect you, even in the midst of great turmoil, because he knows and protects those who are his. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.